I'm going to read to you from the Bible this morning the most strangest piece of scripture for a Sunday school rally, okay? This is going to seem really off the wall, but listen very carefully and hear what I have to say about it. It's called Taming the Tongue from James chapter 3. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's perfect, able also to bridle his whole body. Now, if we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole body as well. Look at a ship also, though they are so large and driven by such strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder whenever the pilot directs it. So also the tongue is a small member of the body, but it does great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by a little flame. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being has been able to tame the tongue completely. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it, however, we can bless our Lord and Father, but also with it, we could curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not be so. Does a fresh spring pour forth from the ground both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. So what I thought I would do with you today is begin with a couple of Sunday school jokes. Is that okay? These are my best of my best. One of them's an oldie but a goodie. Is that okay? Are you ready? All right. A minister was speaking to a Sunday school class, and he said, "There are some things that money just can't buy." And then he told him, he said, "You can't buy laughter." And he said, "Money also can't buy your mom's love." Driving home the point, he said, "What would you do if I offered your parents, or what would you do if I offered you $1,000 not to love your mother and father?" There was a silence among the children. Finally, a little voice called out, "How much money would you give me not to love my big sister?" And then there was the Sunday school teacher who was trying to teach the little ones about the seventh commandment. You know what that is. You shall not steal. "All right, children," he said as an example, "if I were to take a man's wallet out of his pocket and keep all the money in it for myself, what would I be?" Little Johnny's hand shot up. Oh, I know. "Okay, Johnny, teacher," the teacher said, what would I be?" "Oh, you'd be his wife," he said. Or should turn that around just because it's a new age. "You'd be her husband." Okay. One evening, a little girl was saying bedtime prayers with her mother. "Dear Harold," she said, "please bless my mother and my father and all my family and my friends." Then mom broke in. "Did I hear you right? Did you say Harold? Who's Harold?" "Well, that's God's name," the little girl said. "Who told you that was his name?" asked Mom. Well, I learned it in Sunday school, she said. We learned, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Yeah. That's an oldie but a goodie. Okay, let's go back to the scripture that we just had, and I'll put it up. This is why it's so strange. Say it with me. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. Well, we begin another year, don't we, of Sunday school class, and it's our aim here to make known Jesus Christ as the one who is crucified and raised for the forgiveness of our sins and for life everlasting. That's who we are in a nutshell. People who proclaim and teach the death and resurrection of Christ. We really are nothing more than a sign in the desert for those who are thirsty and can't figure out what life is all about. You come here and we tell them. Life is all about being connected with God and with other human beings. Connected in love because God loves us. Loved us so much that he sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to shed his blood, to die for our sins, and to rise again. Now all of us who believe that makes us unique and oddly strange. And I say that because I truly believe on the day that I die, there can be only two things I can claim that will be key for me to be in heaven with my loving God and all the saints who have gone before me. Only two things, faith in Jesus and the fact that I proclaimed in my ministry and in my life and lived it out that my Savior died on the cross for me and was raised 3 days later, and I lived under him as my king. Faith and spreading that particular message, teaching and nurturing the congregations I serve in that is the only thing I can claim in the end. If I do those two things, believe and proclaim and teach Christ crucified and raised, I have done what God wants me to do. Well, you are saying, that sounds pretty simple and easy. Is it? Is it really, especially in today's world? That is the message entrusted to all of us as well. Just like me, only two things are really important in all of life. Don't lose your faith in Christ. Proclaim and teach Christ crucified and raised for the forgiveness of our sins and life everlasting. Now, you're probably wondering, what is that? James 3:1. Not many of you should become teachers, for you know that they will be judged with greater strictness. Odd, until I tell you the truth of it, you are all already teachers. Not many of you should become teachers. Well, wait a minute. Everybody I'm looking at today is a teacher. If you claim to be a Christian, if you are here today because you love your children and they're here for Sunday school, if you support our Sunday school program and the message that I've just been talking about, you, my friends, are teachers. And I want each and every one of you to be the best teacher possible. Given that, of course, I'm a very happy camper when you all teach as you should. I feel much better about not only myself, but my future when I'm a good teacher. I want you to be the best teachers possible. I want the Holy Spirit to move in your hearts and in your minds and in your soul in such a way that the most important thing to you in all the world is the message you hold close to your heart, for you are a Christian. You know about Jesus' death and resurrection. And in that regard, we are partners. In that regard, we are partners. I'm not over you. I'm not under you. I'm not somewhere far away from you. I am with you. We're tight. We are partners. And together, because of that, I am very concerned about what I teach to you and what I preach, how I train you, how I equip you, how I challenge you, and how I encourage you, and I am very concerned about how you respond to that. Very concerned. And some of you know already that I will speak to you if I find out our partnership is in jeopardy. If I find out, and if I think in some way or another, you're departing from the truth of the faith, or if you're going through troubled times and made apart from the faith, you're my partner. I hope you would do the same for me, because from me flows this message to you. And it's got to be accurate. It's got to be on target, or you're going to be messed up. That's why, if you listen very closely to each and every one of my sermons, you will find a formula that's very simple if you just look for it. And I tell the confirmation kids, this is the one thing I want you to report on when you do a sermon study on Sundays. There's only one thing. I want you to tell me how Jesus died and rose again for you and for others. That's all I'm really looking for. Every sermon that I preach is the same. It's exactly the same. I'm putting the formula in there and I'm offering it to you because that's the truth, that's the focus, that's at the center of Christ. Now, just to be clear, I understand that not all of you can be Sunday school teachers. I get that. I believe there are some who could be Sunday school teachers here that have heard the call from God to consider it, but made excuses. We all do that. But understand this, you are a teacher, and that is a gift from God. It is entrusted to you for the kingdom's sake. It's not something you can take lightly. And in fact, during confirmation, the 2 years I have students, and sometimes even in Sunday school, I'll talk to some of the boys. And I'll ask them, has God ever made a suggestion that maybe you could be a pastor? And you would be surprised how often God speaks to our young men, our boys, and says, you know what? You could do this. And for the girls, you know, you could serve God as deaconesses, parochial school teachers. You could make a profession out of proclaiming Christ to others. Has God ever spoke to you? Maybe he has. And I do that because I want all those under me in such a situation to realize God speaks and sometimes we just don't listen. Given that, we've got to be very careful about what we teach as I said before. It must be centered because the little ones are watching you. Do you notice that? There are many in the congregation that don't belong to you, that are watching you. So in fact, they do belong to you. They're watching how you worship. They're watching how you pray. They're watching how you sing. They're looking at you as somebody who's a brother or sister in Christ, and they may be doing exactly as you are doing. They're all watching. They're alert. Little ones soak up stuff like sponges. Do you know what I did one time? I made a big mistake. I was teaching Sunday school, and lo and behold, I do teach Sunday school once in a while, and I had the second and third graders every other Sunday. And so I had my kids together, and one of the kids said, "Pastor, what happened to your finger? Have you noticed I'm missing part of my finger?" And I kind of laughed, and I said, "Well, I was dangling it in a lake in the water, and a muskie came along and bit it off." Do you know that one of the little girls there had told that to her mother? I overheard it. I was standing there, and she pointed at me, "Pastor's missing part of his finger. It got bit off by a muskie," and the mother goes like this and looks at me. So now I just tell the kids that I lost it in one of my shop tools way down inside, and that little piece of finger is growing a whole new me. And someday that'll become a pastor when I die. So I'm still coming up with stuff. But you have to be careful because the little ones are... You know what the scriptures say? Here you've got this great big ship, and it's guided by such a small rudder. So is the tongue. And you know how that fits in today? With everything you say, one of two things happens. Either you lead people to Christ or you lead them away from Christ. How can that be? I don't know, but the scriptures said it quite clearly. Either you bless the Lord or you hurt other people. And so that's why Sunday school is so important, because we want to teach everybody in the church from even in the tummy up until the day they die. We want to teach them that we're blessing the Lord because the Lord has blessed us. And so Sunday school is about that, an opportunity to bless the people with the proclamation of Christ. Now, given that, of course, I went to Sunday school classes, not in a Lutheran church, as many of you know. I went to a Baptist church growing up. And growing up, Sunday school is extremely important. It was here too. It still is. But I remember I started going when I was like 4 years old. And I remember my third grade teacher. Do you know why? Her name was Mrs. Johnson. I remember her because she was also my public school elementary teacher. Conflict of interest? I don't think so. She knew how to bless the Lord with her tongue. And she was very careful with that tongue not to hurt the children, the parents, or anybody else. I also remember that when I was in 7th and 8th grade Sunday school, my teacher was a professor from the local college who taught botany and classes like that. He was my Sunday school teacher, and he enjoyed it. Like, he would come in, and I remember him telling us all about the wonders of the Bible, and he would put it in perspective of God's creation and how much he loved the world now much more he loved God. He used to do this in such a wonderful fashion. I said to myself, one day I want to be like him. Fast forward a few years, I'm in college. And I'm attending the what we used to call the set extension, but it's now called the center. And guess who my botany teacher is? You got it. I walked in the class and he said, "Oh, hello, Rusty." That was my name back then. That was my nickname. And I looked up and he had aged, but I looked at him. That's my Sunday school teacher. That was cool. Each and every one of you still has an opportunity to be a Sunday school teacher and to reach out. By the way, that professor never got married, never had children. Do you know who his children were? You got it. His Sunday school students. Isn't that neat? There's still an opportunity for each and every one of you. And what a difference you'll make. Because some will learn words that they didn't know before. They'll learn it for the first time, like evangelism, mission, fellowship, redemption, forgiveness. They'll memorize Bible verses. They'll learn to sing. By the way, it was in Sunday school that I learned to sing Jesus Loves Me. And all the actions. Do you know them? Jesus loves me, this I know. Do you know that? For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Did you learn this in Sunday school? That's where I learned it. I still know it. I can do it in my sleep. My wife doesn't like me doing it in my sleep, but I can. I always say this, if you don't teach the children what's important to you, somebody will teach them what's important to them. But they will be taught. It's for sure. As parents, we have a responsibility, a primary responsibility, to be the teacher at home for our little ones. You are the primary teacher. Not the Sunday school teacher. You are. They're watching you, they're following you, and they'll do what you teach them. And if you don't teach them, somebody else will. Whatever they want. That's scary. Now, the secondary teacher will be your Sunday school teacher. So I would say this. Get to know who your Sunday school teacher is. Speak with them. Love them. Show a partnership and a friendship. That's so important. And tell them what's on your heart, that you care about the primary focus message of the entire Bible. It's about Christ, that he died on the cross for you and for others, for my children. He was raised for their blessing, that they might be able to live as a Christian here and now and live for a Christian, as a Christian forever in heaven. You know, I just want to close with this. A lot of my Sunday school teachers are dead and gone. They've gone to be with the Lord. There are still a few around. I had a note that came in the mail when my dad died, from one of my Sunday school teachers, a Mr. Gawecki. I love that name, Gawecki. That's why I remember it. He sent me a note and said, "I'm sorry to hear about your dad, but remember, Jesus loved him. And because of that, your father's in heaven." And he said, "Don't forget that is your message too." Isn't that cool? Isn't that neat? Isn't that a partnership? Isn't that something that can really be a blessing to Bethlehem? Isn't that really at the core of who we are and what we're trying to accomplish here? I thank my Sunday school teachers. I thank you parents who are out there doing this because we're partners. I thank you for being my partner, for letting this message flow into ears and hearts that want to receive. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. But as I do all of this and giving thanks, I want you to remember, don't thank me. Thank the Lord. You can thank others. Thank your Sunday school teachers. Thank your mom and dad, your grandma and grandpa. Thank them all. But don't thank me. Thank the Lord. I'm just trying to do my job. I'm just trying to do what the Lord is telling me to do, the best I can. Jesus loves you. Never forget it. It's so simple. Go in his peace, serve him always. Amen.